Secretary Wilkie, welcome, and thanks for joining us today.
Carl, thank you for having me. Thank you for bringing me home. My mother's family started Gambino's Bakery on Toledano back in the 1940s.
You are coming back to New Orleans. You obviously have a built-in audience and an excited audience that you're here for the reason that you're here. Tell us a little bit more about Fisher House.
So the Fisher House is, I think, the ultimate in a private government partnership. The Fisher Foundation has built dozens of homes on active duty military bases and at veterans hospitals to allow veterans' families to come to the hospital and stay at no cost to them, to bring the entire family, children, to be with their veteran at the time of greatest need. And for me, it is personal. 1970, father was in Vietnam. We were actually living in Metairie at the time, and he was terribly wounded in the invasion of Cambodia. Spent almost a year in an army hospital in Hawaii before he came back to New Orleans. My mother was not able to go. That was not part of the way that the military operated then.
So it was not just a logistical choice. This was something that just the military didn't encourage.
It was counter to the ethos of the time. That just didn't happen. And when he returned to New Orleans, it was about half the size in terms of weight as he was when he left. And so the Fisher House, both for the active duty and for the veterans population, is an answer and a remedy to those things that I saw as a youngster.
Now, one of the veterans' issues that's paramount is suicide prevention. Tell us what the VA is doing right now to help tackle that issue.
The most famous, most decorated of all soldiers from World War II, Audie Murphy, kept a loaded pistol under his pillow for the rest of his life and fought the demons that he had experienced on the battlefield. Suicide is a tragedy that takes about 20 veterans a day. 14 of those veterans are not in the VA system. And for the first time, we actually have a national task force across the government to provide not only a whole health approach, but a whole of government approach to this. It is something that we tragically have ignored. If we just concentrate on the last tragic act in a veteran's life without looking at mental health issues, without looking at homelessness, without looking at addiction, we're just going to have another federal report that serves as a doorstop. I think it is long past time for us to have that national conversation, focusing particularly on mental health. The other thing is the city of New Orleans has effectively ended veterans' homelessness, and they did it by coming to VA and offering a public-private partnership, public being the city and VA, private being Catholic Charities, Osnaman down there, and allowing us to work with folks who could find veterans that we can't. It will work for suicide. We have a bipartisan bill in the Congress that substitutes suicide prevention for homelessness, and we think the same formulas can work because those 14 out of the 20 have been lost. Last point on that. The majority of those who take their lives are from the Vietnam era. And to put that in perspective, Lyndon Johnson left Washington, D.C. 50 years ago in January. That's how long so many of these issues have been hitting that part of the veterans community. And it's long past time that we address it.
Just upriver of suicide is the use of opioids. Is that something that will fall into this,
absolutely,
addressing it toward not just looking, absolutely, at the end and the final act, but looking,
that's
at
right,
the factors that lead to it? So that will,
absolutely,
be part of it also.
The opioid issue is destroying huge swaths of our society. At VA, we've actually reduced the percentage of opioid prescriptions in the last year or so by about 51%. And we're changing the culture. Again, in my father's day, or even when I was a young officer, it would have been anathema to the way we thought that instead of giving us pills, we would be given Tai Chi and acupuncture and yoga to address the pain that we were experiencing. We're doing that now. We're changing the way people think. And in so doing, we're reducing the acknowledgement, reducing the tendency to reach for those opioids as a first thought. We're also substituting simple things like aspirin and Tylenol, aspirin and ibuprofen for opioids to actually get at the source of the pain. And we're finding that that is just, that's actually more helpful to our veterans than the traditional Tylenol threes and what has been prescribed for so many years.
Another issue facing veterans in their health care, and this is all tied together because if you address these issues from the beginning, we don't end up with suicides at the end.
Right. That's right.
It's improving access and cutting down on delays. There's new legislation, the Mission Act, and it's supposed to help address that. Tell us how the new act is hopefully going to help our country's veterans.
Good. It went into effect on June 6th, and it does two things. The first is that it offers veterans access to the same services that their neighbors have. For the first time, they can use urgent care. That means they don't have to go to the emergency room for a cold, a flu, a fever, or a sprained ankle. That's one area of it. The second area, it says that if we can't meet your needs in a certain amount of time, for instance, for specialty care, if we don't have an appointment for you in 25 days, you have the option of going into the private sector. Now, it's since Mission has gone in, we've had a million referrals to the private sector. But in that time, we've had 3 million appointments within VA taken care of. What we're seeing is the explosion in the use of urgent care. But we're also seeing that veterans are voting with their feet. They want to go somewhere where people understand the culture and speak the language. So we have actually the highest veterans approval rate for VA services that we've ever had. It sits at about 89.7%. We're proud of that. But Mission allows us to offer veterans access to the private sector when it is in their best medical interest. And I think that is the key. When people tell me I'm privatizing VA, I point to the fact that I presented to the Congress the largest budget in the history of the department, $220 billion, calling for 400,000 employees. And only in Washington, D.C. would that be described as privatizing an institution.
Veteran Affairs Secretary Robert Wilkie, thank you for your time today.
Carl, thank you, and thank you for bringing me home. And I was an avid listener. When I was growing up and in school. So I thank you for the public service that you all do every day.
And we certainly thank you for yours. Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.